the devotion for this evening's entitled Brazen Altar and Lever. We are continuing our series from Exodus chapter 27. We shall be reading from verses 1 to 8 and chapter 30 verses 17 to 21. The tabernacle was a moving tent of meeting that God commanded Moses to build. And in that visible tentage in the wilderness, God would dwell with his people. He wanted to fellowship and commune with his people. You know, the people of God are the happiest people because they have God with them. They have God so nigh unto them. And that was the great privilege that God gave to them. But before they received this great privilege, Israel was in great bondage under Egyptian servitude. But God, with a mighty hand, brought them out, and God showed to them who he is and how indeed they can trust him and they can rely upon him, and how when they draw nigh to him, he would bless them. And indeed, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. And so this tabernacle that was made by Moses according to God's instruction would be with Israel for the next 400 years until the time of King Solomon, when God gave the decree for Solomon to build the temple. The tabernacle was constructed according to God's pattern. And physically speaking, if you were to have a mental picture of the size of the tabernacle, you would find that it would fit into half a football field. That's the size of the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, there are three sections. So far, we have studied two of the sections: the Holy of Holies, or the Holy Place, or the Holy of Holies, or the Most Holy Place, and secondly, the Holy Place. Today, we shall be considering the third section, the Outer Court. And if you will place these three sections of the tabernacle together, the Holy of Holies would be on the western side, on your left hand side, and on the right hand side, which is the eastern side, would be the outer court, and right in the middle is the holy place. And as we have been studying the various furniture that is in the tabernacle, we saw the Ark of the Covenant some weeks back with the mercy seat on top, how it is located in the Holy of Holies, and it is a picture of God's throne. It is a picture of the very presence of God with his people. And then we studied over the last 2 weeks the holy items in the holy place. We spoke about the altar of incense that symbolized Israel's communion with God, how this incense represents the prayer of God's people, the sweet incense offered to God. You know, prayer is the greatest privilege of believers. In prayer, the believer is brought into great heights of glory with God. And that is something that God wants us to experience. And then there was that table of showbread that symbolized God's goodness in providing for all the 12 tribes. Remember, they were to make 12 different loaves placed in two plates and they are to change this and make this offering on a weekly basis. It was symbolic of the goodness of God and the fellowship they have with God. And then there is the golden candlestick, which we saw also last week. It provided light to ensure that there is that continual existence of a witness through the work of the priest in the offering of incense and the replacement of the showbread. And it is it gives to us a picture of God dwelling with his people. And that is a picture that God wants us to see visually in our hearts, in our mind, as we go through life. Because this world that we lived in would be a world that, you know, Israel would see when they just turn back. They would see the wilderness, and they would see Egypt, and they would remember those difficult times. But when they are focused upon God and his glory and his strength, you'll find that every burden, every difficulty, every trouble, every broken relationship can be mended, can be healed, can be restored when God is with us. And so Israel, when they had the tabernacle built and they began worship, it was such a wonderful experience, just like what we are going through now. Every Lord's Day, we had the opportunity to come together to worship as a people of God, and how we put together all the various aspects of worship, and how God is blessing our worship of him. And so that's the holy place, the three furniture that we have just discussed. Then outside the holy place is the courtyard with the brazen altar and the brazen lever. And this is a topic that we want to think about in our devotion tonight. The brazen altar from Exodus 27 verses 1 to 8 and the brazen lever from Exodus 30 verses 17 to 21. There are two altars in the tabernacle. If you look carefully in the picture that we have provided for us over the last few weeks, if you could remember, there is the golden one in the holy place, the altar of incense for the offering up of sacrifices of prayer. Then there is this bronze one that is outside at the courtyard that is used for animal sacrifice. The brazen altar is was the largest piece of furniture used in the worship of God. And it was open to the people of Israel to come to bring their offerings as an atonement for their sins. And this bronze altar is made of wood, covered with bronze, so that it's fireproof. And you would notice that everything that is in the outer court is made of bronze, just as everything that is inside the tent is made of gold. That is rings, its staves, and all the other parts of the furniture. Then it had also the four horns on the four corners. And that's what verse 1 tells us concerning its construction. Now let us now look at how the brazen altar looks like physically. And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, verse 1 of Exodus 27, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. So the altar is a very simple hollow box that is made of the almost indestructible wood that they can find in the Sinai wilderness, and it's overlaid with brass, and it's about 7.5 feet in or 7.5 square feet with a height of 4.5 feet. So, and it's fully covered with brass, and that's how it looks like, a simple hollow box. And verse 2 says, and then there are 4 horns that are made that covers the 4 corners. They are overlaid with bronze also. In verse 3 it says, and thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes, and his shovels, and his basins, and his fleshwoods, and his fleshpans. All the vessels thereof shalt thou make of brass. Besides that, the box itself, the altar, there are 5 other utensils that comes with it that is supposed to be made. The pans to receive ashes, the shovels to remove the ashes of the sacrifices, and they are to carry them outside the camp to be disposed of. And then there are basins that are used to hold the blood that is drained out of the animals that are brought for sacrifice. And these are placed at the base, at the bottom of the altar. Then there are flesh hooks, right? These are forks to pick up the sacrifices. Then there are the fire pans. What are these fire pans? These are pans used to hold the fire that is carried from the brazen altar to the altar of incense inside the holy place. Okay? Verse 4, we continue as we look at the construction of this brazen altar. And thou shalt make for it a grate of network of brass, and upon the net shalt thou make 4 brazen rings in the 4 corners thereof, and thou shalt put it under the brass compass of the altar beneath, that the net may be even to the midst of the altar. And so in the box itself, right in the middle, there is this bronze grate. It's like a wire gauze, right? Placed right in the middle, okay, so that the burnt sacrifice would be able to permeate its way down and be captured, right, by the pans. So this is how it looks like. And then verse 6 and 7 tells us that there are staves, right, wooden poles that are overlaid with brass, in order to that they may be able to carry the altar. So it is a movable structure. Okay? And so when a worshipper would come to the tabernacle to offer a sacrifice, and this is the first thing that they would see is the courtyard, right? And the fence of it. It consists of a white linen fence, right? Very long, 150 feet long and 75 feet wide. Okay? And it surrounds the tabernacle, and there they create from there the courtyard where the priest would minister. Okay, and so as we said earlier, the tabernacle would be on the western side, on the left hand side. If up north is just in front of you, then on the eastern side, your right hand side, okay, the courtyard. And here the priest would meet with the people who came to offer sacrifices. And what the priests would do is that they would examine the animal to see if it's the right type of sacrifice. Right? God instructed that it must be an unblemished animal of its kind, that is brought for the sacrifice. And so the priest is to make that examination. Then he would slay the animal and offer it on the brazen altar according to God's instructions. Right? And Leviticus chapter 1 verses 1 to 9 is this instruction that God gave on what to do when they are at the brazen altar. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle, Leviticus chapter 1 verse 1, out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. And if his offering be a burnt offering of the herd, let him bring a male without blemish. So only male, right? No female. And without blemish, a good sacrifice. What is given to God must be the best, because he deserves our best. He will offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And so the person who comes to offer to God brings his sacrifice out of his own free will. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. What is the meaning of this word, atonement? And if you were to make a check of this word, atonement, right, it literally means to cover. To cover. Okay. So the sacrifice that was made was to, in that sense, cover the sin, right, so that the wrath of God will be turned away from the people. A very good mental picture of it was the time when Adam and Eve first sinned. You remember? They were feeling very guilty, and they became very fearful, and God asked them, did they eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And they said they did, because their eyes were open to know good and evil. And suddenly they became fearful and they became afraid. And how did God take away that fear upon them? Because when they sinned, they began to feel themselves naked, exposed. When we sin against God, may God give us a conscience, right, that tells us that we have done wrong. We have done things which is not right against God. And how do we soothe that conscience? How do we expiate the conscience? You know, how is it that the conscience that is tarnished, that is guilty, be made right again? Well, the Lord made a coat of skin, right? An animal was killed, okay, and the coat of skin was placed upon Adam and Eve. If you were to look at the Chinese character E for righteousness, you'll see the lamb that is above and me that is below. Now that is the cover that we are speaking about, right? God gives to us that cover that we can be reconciled with God. And that is the word of to forgive, right? To forgive, to reconcile, to expiate, right? That is the word to cover, kafa. That's the word that is given there in verse 5, verse 4 at the end of Leviticus chapter 1. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's sons shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces, and the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood upon in order upon the fire, and the priest Aaron's son shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar, But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And so this is a description of the sacrifice that the people of Israel are to bring to God every time they have sinned against God. They bring the animal, and the animals will be killed. The blood of the animal will be sprinkled on the sacrifice as an atonement for their sin. Okay. So the brazen altar was made for that purpose. It was provided for these sacrifices to be made. And why is it that sacrifices have to be made for the atonement of sin? That is what God gives to us as a way to take away the guilt. And that's given to us in Leviticus 17 verse 11. It says here, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." And so this is God's way of making that animal that was killed and the shedding of his blood as a sacrifice, as a substitute for the sins that were committed by the people of God. And that's God's way of taking away sin. And it's a prefiguring of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that would come and do the atoning work on the cross at Calvary when he died for the sins of the world 2,000 years ago. And so the tabernacle worship at the brazen altar was supposed to give us that picture. Romans 5 verse 8 tells us, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And so the brazen altar was provided as a way to expiate sin. Okay. And it's the way of God's love to find an animal to be that substitute, an unblemished animal. Christ was that unblemished Lamb of God that the Father sent to be that sacrifice. Therefore, Romans 5 verse 9 and 10 says, "Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." So the wrath of God is taken away when the blood was shed. "And if when we were enemies," verse 10 of Romans 5 says, "we were reconciled to God." But that's another nuance of the word to atone. "By the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Okay? Romans chapter 5 verse 1 and verse 11 tells us the impact of this expiation, the impact of this forgiveness that God gives to us. What is that? Verse 1 of Romans 5 says, "Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That God's peace comes to us that we can never experience otherwise. And what else? Verse 11, "And not only so, but we also joy in God." God's joy comes to us also in its fullness, by whom we have now received the atonement. Right? God covers us in the sense that, you know, God's wrath is turned away. Right? Just like when Israel was in Egypt and they were asked to kill the lamb, the Passover lamb, and how when they put the blood on the doorpost of their homes, the death angel would pass over them. It's the same picture right, that God is giving. And so, as you think about the brazen altar, you think about the sacrifice that was made, or prefiguring of the sacrifice that Christ would make for our sins. And that's something that we want to be very thankful about. And the position of the altar is right in the middle of the courtyard. So when you enter the doorway of the courtyard, that's the only way you can go through in order to reach the tabernacle, the very presence of God. It is only by the sacrifice. That's the first item. Then the other item in the courtyard is the brazen level. Exodus 30 verses 17 to 21. The other item, the level, stood between the brazen altar and the tent. Right? And if you were to search through, I was searching through, we cannot find any dimensions given, okay, for this particular item, the level. Right? The Lord did not specify either the shape of the level or were there instructions how it is to be made. But we know that it is to hold clean water for the physical cleaning of the priest before they entered the tabernacle. Okay? Exodus 40 verse 7 tells us, "And thou shalt set the level between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and shall put water therein." And what's the use of it? Exodus 30 verses 17 tells us, "And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a level of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash with her." So it was for the purpose of washing. "And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar." So it's in between. You pass the altar first, then you come to the level. Right? And you should they are to put water therein. "For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands," that's the purpose here, "and their feet thereat, and when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not." It's a very, very serious thing, isn't it? If they fail to wash themselves in this water, you mean God is going to strike them dead? That is the warning that is given there. Okay? When they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offerings made by fire unto the Lord. "So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed, throughout their generations." So the priests, before they would minister in the tabernacle, they are to stop at the level to wash their hands and their feet. And you can imagine that their hands and their feet, their hands would be soiled or filled with the blood of the sacrifice, and the feet would be soiled with the dust of the tabernacle court. And so before they would minister further in the holy place, the Lord would ask them that they may be cleansed. And so they would go there reverentially to have their hands and the feet cleaned. And Exodus 29 verse 4 describes this, "And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of congregation, and shall wash them with water." Okay? And if they enter the tent and served at the brazen altar without washing, they are in danger of death. So there is a curse upon this instruction. Exodus 40 verses 30 to 32 describes this process, and he sets the level between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water there to wash with her. And Moses and Aaron his sons washed their hands and their feet when they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. But there's a specific thing that they would do once a year. Each year, the high priest is to wash on the Day of Atonement and put on the holy garment and make an atonement for himself and the children of Israel. It is a special day whereby that is recorded here in Leviticus 16:24, and he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garment, and come forth and offer his burnt offerings and burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And so on every day of the year, the priest would only wash their defiled hands and feet before entering. But there is a particular time of the year where they would thoroughly wash themselves, okay, before they enter. And the priest knew the meaning of this. Right? They were spiritually cleansed, right, at the altar. And they are physically clean before God when they washed themselves. Okay? And the brazen altar is a description of a process of purification, right, that the priests would go through, right? They would cleanse themselves, right, before they would approach God. As David the psalmist says in Psalm 24 verses 3-5, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. What is this washing? If you were to think carefully, and we would see that this washing of water is would be symbolic of the cleansing that comes with the Word of God. Right? As we acknowledge and as we confess our sins before God, we seek His cleansing and His forgiveness. Right? That's the picture that we want to bring before us. As we come for a time of prayer, as we come to seek God, before we can come to the very presence of God, we would ask God to cleanse us, to wash us by His Word. Right? That's what God's Word does. God's Word would show us where we are lacking, where we have failed Him. And the Spirit of God would use the Word of God miraculously each time to show us where we have gone wrong. What is wrong with our lives? That's why when we draw nigh to God, when we come for prayer meeting, you know, do not think that it is just a routine that we can skip and do without. But this is the process that God, that we go through when we come before God. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That is how we approach God, by seeking His forgiveness, cleansing, by confessing our sins before Him. And with this, we approach God. So the brazen altar and the brazen level provided a picture of the spiritual and physical cleansing when God is approached in worship. We cannot approach God otherwise. May the Lord help us, each one of us, a priest before Him, to prepare our hearts, not only cleansing of the heart, but physically, when we come before God, you know, we come before Him with a heart preparation, and we prepare ourselves to come before Him washed and clean. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for giving to us the blueprint for the tabernacle. that is a description of how God's people is to approach a thrice holy God in worship. Lord, may thou bring to mind the instructions of thy word as a mental picture to help us in our worship of thee. This I ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.